musicians be seated if you'd like to. This is the evening time. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, we've got to be making sure we're using every day, every moment of this time that we have to make sure we are ready to meet the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't know how to say it in a much of a sobering voice. I could possibly say it. Rapture morning is coming. And ready or not, there's going to come a day that this Bible will be closed for the last time.
That's right.
And the righteous will be righteous and the filthy will be filthy.
That's right.
At that point. And friends, let's take every moment during this service and say, Lord, don't let me let this service pass by as just a normal service. But God, I want to come to meet you today. Because you know, there's a lot of people assembling in churches throughout the world today. And they're all paid, maybe some pay tithes, some pay offerings. But you know what? That's not what's going to, you are born into the body of Christ. Is that right? Scripture says, by one spirit, you're baptized into one body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not joining a church, it's being born in one. Amen. Born into the bride, so. And I thank God for the calling to His Word. The most wonderful thing that I've ever had is having an eye to see and an ear to hear. No, Jesus talked about that. He said, they have eyes to see, and they have ears, but they can't hear. He said, but blessed are your eyes, because they can see. Blessed are your ears, because you can hear. Because a lot of people can hear the same gospel that will be spoken this morning and say, I don't see anything to it. But something inside you says, amen. Why? Because there's something on the inside of you. That something inside you that responded to it and heard that call to salvation one day is the same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth.
Right.
It'll be that same voice one morning, brothers and sisters. It's going to be rapture time. It's going to be the change of our body. It's going to be the same voice. Amen.
Right.
Let's go into our Bibles, if you don't mind, to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 2 and 3. And she'll have this on the multimedia. And it's kind of a lengthy title, but I took it from the text that we would like to speak on is, who is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Who is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you that you would come and speak through me this morning, Lord. I humble myself before you, Lord, and recognize in myself there's nothing I can do, Lord. I couldn't heal one person here if I wanted to, Lord, because you've already healed. Your word says that by your stripes we were healed. Lord God, I couldn't save a single person here because they're already saved, but they have to come to recognize that. Lord God, come and speak to our hearts today, Lord. Because I recognize, Lord, if you don't come, Lord, then it's just man gathering. But Lord, when you come, things change. Life comes. I ask you that you would come and speak to our hearts in this service. Help us to consecrate ourselves to you, the wisdom of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. David couldn't build the house, but there was a seed coming forth from inside of him, from his loins, and it could build the house. You say amen? We can't do the work, but greater is he that's within us that can do this. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And I want to read just a quick quote here. It says, and these little places, as David could not build the true tabernacle of God because he wasn't prepared to do it. There was nothing he could do. He was a mortal and had shed blood. So is it today to us. We are not prepared to build the true tabernacle of God. There's only one can do that, and it's being in construction now. But this tabernacle, along with the temple that Solomon built him, and along with the others, are only temporary places of worship until the time comes when the real tabernacle will be set upon the earth and the righteousness shall reign from sky to sky, and there will be no more sorrow, There'll be no more funerals preached in that tabernacle. There'll be no more weddings, for the wedding will be one great wedding for eternity. What a time that will be. But let us purpose in our heart today that in commemoration and waiting for that tabernacle to come, that we will so characterize ourselves by His Spirit that we will worship in this place as if we were on the other place waiting for that place to come. You say amen?
Amen.
The character happens on this side of the river. You know, a lot of people think, one day God's going to change me, and all of a sudden I will automatically start living this new life because the body change takes place. But actually, that change happens on this side before rapture time.
That's right.
And that's why I thank God sometimes, because you go through life sometimes, and you will go through pressure. Excuse me, get a drink of water. You'll go through pressure sometimes in your life. And you'll thank God, why am I going through this pressure? And it reminds me, when I was a young boy, we grew up on a little farm, and we had a two-story barn. And I tell you how tall it was. Whenever I was 16, I could actually stand on my feet and put my hands up in the air and touch the bottom of that floor. That's how high the ceiling was. Me and my brothers used to ride our bicycles off of that. And just think of the crazy stuff we've done and that we've lived through. But I remember we used to play on this inside this barn upstairs, and there were pigeons that would be up there. And I remember I caught a pigeon one time, and I was holding it in my hands. And I was looking at that pigeon, and I was just a young fella. I kept holding him, and I'd look at him, and I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to hold him. And eventually, I let him go. And you know, I noticed on my hands, they were all oily. And I thought to myself, I wonder how that thing got Motorola. That thing got Motorola. I was just a little bitty fella. I didn't know any better. But come to find out what it was, That's a form of a dove, and they have an oil gland on the inside of them, and he cleanses himself from the inside out. If you look out there in the street out there, you'll see birds out there, and they're taking baths, and they're putting that muddy water on, give themselves a bath. But a dove is different than that. A dove won't be out in the dirty water like that. That dove has got an oil gland on the inside of him, and it actually cleanses him from the inside out.
Right.
And you know, that little pigeon, he probably thought to himself, why is this guy holding me and rubbing me like that? That was probably a little bit of pressure for that little guy, because he wasn't made for me to be holding him. And that's a lot like we are a lot of times. We'll go through pressure sometimes, and somebody will squeeze us, they'll rough us up, but you know what? They should leave with wool on their hands. They should leave with the fragrance of God in their hands through the midst of your trial, because it's not you, it's something on the inside of you. It's the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of people, they have the Holy Ghost on their flesh, but you can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh and go to hell. How many knows that?
Right.
The disciples were walking one day. They said, who's the greatest among us? We've cast out devils in your name. We've done great works in these names. Who's the greatest among us? And Jesus said, rejoice not because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Judas Iscariot was right with them. Judas was doing works. Judas Iscariot was casting out devils. Judas Iscariot was doing all things. And then Judas Iscariot turned right around and sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver.
Right.
Many will come. Jesus says, many will come to me that day. And they'll say, Lord, I've prophesied in your name. I've done great works in your name. I've done all these things. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What a terrible thing. People that are religious, people that go to church, people that cast out devils, people that pray for the sick and they're healed. Not just pray for them and they're healed. Hello?
Right.
And then come that one day and find out that they're depending upon their works of what they've done. And Jesus will look at these people and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The most important thing we can ever do in this life is know God.
Right.
To know who God is. I love in the scripture it says, this is life eternal, to know God.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it don't matter how much I can quote the scriptures. It don't matter how much I can quote the message. I'm telling you what, if I don't have that transformation done in my life, in the Holy Ghost in my life, rapture morning, I will be waiting here. I will be left alone, and so will you.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. I remember a story one time. You have such competitions among ministers, and it just makes me sick at my stomach when I see it.
Right.
Not the ministers that are walking in the Spirit and doing it truth, but the other ones. But you know what? It reminds me of, because they're trying to compare who's deeper, who's deeper, who can do this. It doesn't matter. Are we changing the lives of brothers and sisters? That's what matters. I don't care if anybody ever remembers my name or what I spoke. All I want is, God, was you able to use me in my life in the avenue, in the capacity that God wants to use me? The thought we're thinking about is, will you consecrate yourself to the service of God in this day? But it reminds me of a story in a children's book of these little chickens that were in this barnyard, and they were all sitting there plucking and doing things that they do. And this one fancy rooster, he had all these beautiful feathers. He popped up and put his feet on the roost, and he said, "My brothers and sisters, I've got a new revelation today of how we can do these things and how we can produce eggs." And all the little chickens would look at him and say, "Boy, ain't he a darling?" They looked at that rooster and they said, "Oh my, listen to him." And he began to give his new doctrine of how we can be saved and how we can produce more eggs and do all these things. And then another chicken come run up and says, "I got to break your announcement that you're doing to tell you something. The price of chickens just went up 20 cents and we're all being shipped off to the slaughterhouse this morning." It don't matter how much we know about it, brothers and sisters. Judgment of God is coming on, and it ain't going to matter how much I know. It ain't going to matter how much people look at me and say, "Look what I can do." Same for you. The only thing's going to matter during that time is, am I ready for the rapture? Have I fulfilled God's purpose in my life in this day? You say amen. I'm not interested in having a new doctrine, a new revelation. I want this Holy Ghost Bible. Amen. I love that, how, because people say that the things change. You have to change the gospel for the times. Nonsense. You know what it reminds me of? Whenever Joseph was a righteous man, Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife come to him and stripped his clothes off of him and tried to seduce him. He didn't stand there and argue with her. You know what he did? He ran. He ran away from that. And I'm here to tell you, if you ever have some seducing devil try to tell you we got to change this gospel, you run from it. Don't sit there and argue with it. You run from it. Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, any man or angel preach any other gospel than that's been preached to you, let him be accursed.
Right.
Amen. Because the word does not need to be changed. The word will do exactly what it said it will do.
Amen.
Amen. They took the grains from Pharaoh's tomb and they put that thing in the ground, put it in a rot environment. It didn't produce grapefruit. It produced wheat, because that's what it is. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. Amen. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." His first advice to Solomon was, know the God of thy father. Solomon saw the life that his father lived according to God. But in order for him to have the same relationship with God as his father did, he's going to have to meet God also. He had to draw from the same oil, so to speak, as his father did. And what I'm talking about is, in the lampstands, there were 7 lampstands. There was a bowl of oil on the bottom of those lampstands. And there were 7 lamps that come out of this lampstand. And each wick come down those lampstands and drawed down the exact same oil. It wasn't a different oil. It was the exact same oil down all 7 lampstands. How many knows what I'm telling you is the truth? It wasn't a different gospel. It was the exact same God. And we live in a day today where there's so many different doctrines, so many different, as much as I hate to say it, so many different interpretations of the message. And it should not be that way.
I'm telling you what, God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
That's right. This gospel was never made to be complicated.
Right.
It's simple. But people want to be complicated. The first thing Solomon had to do is, you know the God that your father served. Then he says, serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. It can't be a heart that isn't fully committed to God. You want more of God? How committed are you to Him? How many people say, I want more of God? But how committed are you to God? How much are you truly? You say, I'm really committed, Brother Daniel. Are you really? I'm going to get right in your tater patch. You really want to get close to God? You say, I really do. How much time have you spent in prayer? How many times have you sat with your Bible? I'm not talking about look religious around. I'm talking about you and you alone between whenever you have your alone time with God, when you have an opportunity. How many times do you take the time to get on your knees to seek God and say, Lord, I want to fellowship with you today? How many hours have you spent on Facebook and all these different things? Facebook can be used as a tool. We're trying to use it here to help with the message, but I'm telling you what, it can be a distraction. That's something this world has got so much of, is all the social apps that you can do, all the different ways, and if you just try to keep up with them, you have a full-time job just to keep up with, from what I've seen. How committed are you to God this morning? And how are you willing to consecrate yourself to God's service? God is a gentleman, and He will not force Himself on you. You say amen? I'm going to read one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5. And she'll have these on the multimedia that we can read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I want you to catch what I'm saying, what I'm showing you here. Brother says, you know what's the matter with the church today? It don't get in the spirit enough. We're too much in ourselves. My, if you'll just get out of yourself long enough, you say, well, our church is, we have a regular routine. Oh, who cares about your routine? I wish you'd get out of your routine long enough to get saved anyhow. Amen. Get saved. Get out of the routine. You don't care about routine. Get in the spirit and you can see things done. An old prophet one time got all stirred up because somebody come to him. It wasn't right for him to come. He kind of got his righteous indignation up. And you know what he did? Before the Spirit got come on him, he had to sing some songs. Sing some good old spiritual songs. And then he got in the Spirit. And he began to see things. He saw some visions. I tell you, brother, life will look a lot different when the church gets in the Spirit and gets out of itself, gets out of its routine. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We got to get in the Spirit. You know, if you go to a ball game and you watch a ball game and you just watch it go, you'll be bored. You'll be like a knot on the log. But once you get in the Spirit of what's going on, you'll get excited just like everybody else. That's right. They've got these 90-day transformation programs that you can do, and they'll show you the exercises you got to do. If you play that and you just don't get in the Spirit and you just do go through the motions, guess what? You won't have any transformation. You've got to get in the Spirit of what that man's showing you. And he says, we're going to do the jumping jacks. You've got to get in motivation. They tell you to put this little thing on your wrist and tell you your heart rate. You've got to get your heart rate up. You know what happens a lot of times when people go to the gym nowadays, they'll sit there and take pictures of themselves and talk about how hard they're working out. Yeah, you're working out real hard, sitting there playing with your phone. But you know what? I know this because I used to go to the gym during my lunch hour until I just started doing cutbacks on different things. But I would go there, and when I go to the gym, brother and sister, I ain't there to play around. I'm there to tear up. I want to hit that treadmill. I want to hit it running. I'm going to get the heart rate going. I'm going to go to one workout to the next. Why? Because I'm getting in the Spirit of working out. And I'm here to tell you, when you come to church, you got to get the heart rate up again. When you come to church, you got to get in the spirit of the worship service and say, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm not here to show people what I can do or how I can do on Facebook. I'm here to get in your spirit because I know that's the where the change is going to take place.
Amen.
Am I telling you the truth? Amen. Try doing a workout and don't get in the spirit, you're wasting your time. Try to go to church and don't get in the spirit, you're wasting your time. You know, you can take your Bible and read it like a newspaper and don't reverence it and you won't get any results. But you know what? Whenever Moses, whenever he met the pillar of fire, the first thing he learned, you've got to take off your shoes. Why? Because you're coming in the presence of an almighty, holy God. Amen.
Amen.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm here to tell you, if we will reverence God the way he did, we would see God move the way he did.
Amen.
Amen. Because God don't change. I'm here to tell you, God can, he's the same God that can heal the blind. He's the same God that can raise the dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way he's going to do it is when you get in the spirit. You got to get in the spirit of the rapture. I'm telling you, because there's going to come a rapture morning, and I won't be in rapture anointing.
Amen.
You say amen? Amen? But that is not going to be by this slopping around and being lazy. I'm telling you what, that's not something you're going to do. You know what you want? You see people that say, I wish I had a relationship like this couple. I wish I could do it. You've got all the tools to do it. But you know what? You've got to be able to get in the spirit. You've got to start bringing that love back. You know what? My wife, she knows I love fried taters. Oh, my goodness. She put those taters in the skillet and put them onions inside it. She knows exactly how I like it. Golden brown. There's little things in our house that she does that she knows that's a way to me. Did you ever hear the saying, the way of the man's through his belly? Well, it's a lot of belly there to work with. My wife does a lot of things like that because she knows I like it.
Right.
She doesn't. Now, she can say, this is law. This is law. I have to do this. But this is, no, that is the wrong thinking.
That's right.
She loves me, and she knows it makes me happy. And she'll do those things because it is a relationship. Hello? People, they look at these sisters. They say sisters wearing their long dresses and not cutting their hair and keeping the paint off of their face. Hello? They'll say, I'm not going to do that. That's living by the law. I'm here to tell you, when you meet the Creator, Jesus Christ, they'll have a love inside him. And you know that the Word says in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says, it's an abomination to the Lord our God for a man to wear garments that pertain to a woman and a woman to wear garments that pertain to a man. Hello? Is he the same God? Or isn't he?
Yes.
The Word says that, but she says, people say, well, that don't matter. What if I was to say, I absolutely despise fried taters and onions. I absolutely hate it. I despise it. And she says, well, it don't matter. I'm doing it anyway. Hello?
That's right.
Because she loves me. And she knows that I love this. She's going to do those things because she knows it makes me happy. But there's certain things in this life that she can do that she knows I hate it. I'm not saying I kind of dislike it. I absolutely hate it. She's not going to do those things because she loves me. It is a relationship with the Word. It is a relationship with God. I'm going to tell you what, if you try to serve a message and through these things because you don't have it on the inside and you try to do it by the works, you'll be miserable. That's exactly right. But when you get the life on the inside, that dove cleanses from the inside out. And you brothers and sisters know what I'm talking about. When you get it on the inside, it is a joy to do those things. Amen?
Amen.
It's a joy. We got to get in the spirit. A lot of times, people want a different job or a position when really they don't need to change their position. What they need to do is change their commitment to their current position. Majority of the time, the reason for the want of change is they stopped seeing results. They lost confidence in where they worked or their position. Majority of the time, it's the attitude that needs to be adjusted. People are chasing after someone else's position and are cheating themselves because there's nobody that can fill your position like you can. And there's nobody that can fill somebody else's position like they can. Is that right? You've got a position, you've got a job, you're duty bound to that God called you to do it, and if you slack on that job, you'll start making excuses of why you're not where you want to be. You'll blame everybody but yourself. Hello. You'll say, you know, I went to service and I didn't get a thing. Did you get in the spirit? Because I'm here to tell you, a preacher can preach, anybody can preach the message. If you don't get the spirit, you'll leave just as empty as you come. Because the devil will provide for you.
But if you come saying, I come to seek God, I come to seek to receive God in the service today, you come with that attitude, you'll leave with God. You say, Brother Daniel, I don't know about that. What's the scripture saying? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. Does it say that?
Yes.
Amen. That means you get in the spirit, you will leave a better person. Amen.
Yes.
That's right. No, I used to load trucks for planters. And I used a forklift. And doing this forklift, I was really nervous at first, but I was excited. And when I went there, this was going to be my service for planters. I went there, I walked up, and I seen this beautiful forklift, brand new, nice and shiny, nice buttons on it, everything that lovers are there. I said, oh boy, thank you, Jesus. He finally blessed me. I'm going to finally get in the nice position of this. I walked over there and started putting my foot on it, and my supervisor, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm going to start loading lifts. I'm the new. He said, that's not your forklift. That's your forklift. And I'm telling you, it was the biggest piece of junk you ever see in your life. This thing was, I mean, paint was knocked off all over it. It looked like the lever was going to fall off of the thing. And the tires looked like squares on it, like it was novel. Like, literally, it looked like squares. It was ridiculous. I thought it was a joke. He was dead serious. He says, no, that's your forklift. He didn't start me out with the best. He started me out with the absolute worst, pathetic-looking thing ever. And he told me, he says, when you break product, if you cause a wreck and cause product to break, you're going to get a write-up. So we'll give you three graces, and after that, you've got to get it together. I'm like, okay, no problem. So I get on top of this forklift, and I'm driving, and I'm not kidding you. It's like, and guess what I'm going to go pick up? I'm not talking about picking up foam. I'm not picking up glass. I've got to take this forklift that moves like this, and the levers, you got to pull it and nothing's happening. You keep pulling, nothing happens. You keep pulling and finally, zzz, and it moves up. It wasn't real sensitive to the touch. But my job was to move these pallets of glass. And I've got to move these glass from this location over to this location. This is my service. This is the tools I've been given. And so I'm on top of this and I've got this glass and I'm going, it's going like that. And I am sweating it out the whole time because I'm thinking I'm going to get rolled up. And I go around the corner, and guess what happens? I spill the whole thing all over the floor, shatters glass. I thought to myself, I just went from hero to zero, just like that. Anybody ever feel that way? And I'm down here, and I'm cleaning this up, and I'm sweeping. I'm thinking, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be in so much trouble. I'm like, he gave me one job. One job. And the first pallet of glass I get, and I wreck it, I destroy it. My boss came out, the supervisor came out there, and he said, Daniel, what are you doing, man? I gave you one job. I said, I know. He said, hey, shake it off. Put it behind you. You're going to make mistakes. Put it behind you. And he helped me clean that mess up. And that's one of the hardest things about us is putting our mistakes behind us. Because what happened is after I cleaned that up, he said, Daniel, get it out of your head. Forget about it. I get that cleaned up, and I am thinking about how can I be so dumb to make that turn that fast. I knew better. I knew better. And I'm picking up the glass and I'm going around. I'm thinking myself, I knew better than to do that. I knew I shouldn't have turned too sharp around. And I spilled that thing again. I spilled another one. And I was like, oh my goodness, two in a row. I'm going to get fired. And I finally just got this job. I'm excited about it. And I went from hero to double zero. And I'm down here and I'm cleaning it up. And I'm thinking my supervisor's going to be looking anytime. He's going to be upset with me. And heading upstairs, window, and he was looking down, and I heard a tump, 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 and he had a cup of coffee. And I looked at him, and I could read his lips. He said, forget about it. And then I was expecting him to come down and help me clean it. Guess what? He never did. First one, he'll help you, shame on you, and second one, shame on me. And he taught me a very valuable lesson. You've got to learn how to forget about your mistakes. Repent and say, God, forgive me, and move on. Because the Lord don't remember it no more, but we'll remember it. Amen? But something I learned on doing that forklift is I would have to flip those levers. And I got to the point on that junky forklift, I could move those forks just as good as I could with my hands. My confidence in picking those pallets was not in myself, not in my own abilities. My confidence was in the machine I was on. All I had to do was operate it correctly. And whenever I lifted those levers and did it exactly, I could literally do it. I got to the point where the pallet could be moving down conveyor belt. Yes, thank you, brother. The pallet could be going down the conveyor belt moving, and I could literally take that junky forklift. I could go up there and sweep that thing up and never miss a beat. Pallets be perfectly straight. And how that reminded me of time when the prophet was out in the woods, and he was hunting, and he heard a chatter, 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 and he looked over, and he seen this, and he was praising the Lord, and what it was, he saw an eagle. And this eagle was sitting down, and he said, I was watching that eagle, and he was watching this little squirrel over here, and he said, I actually told him, he said, you know what, I could shoot you if I wanted to. He said, that eagle never batted his eye one time. He said, but what he noticed was every once in a while, that eagle would move his wings. Check one, check two. Check one, check two. See, his confidence was in none other than God's provided way for him. And God's provided way for that eagle was his wings. He wasn't trying to do nothing else. He would move those wings over and over. And he said before he could even reach his gun, two swipes, that eagle hit, boom, boom, and gone, out of the air. I say all this to tell you this. When I was running that forklift, every once in a while, I would just touch, just to make sure I was in tune with that forklift. And the more in tune I was with that forklift, the more my confidence was in the forklift. And I'm here to tell you, our confidence has to be in none other, not my own ability, not what I can do. My confidence has to be in God's word. To where I am taking God's word, and I am constantly, check one, check two, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I was healed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, I am so in tune with this word that whenever a need arises, I am not going to look at my ability. I am going to look to the word as my sword and my strength. Say amen. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Amen. Because you know what? Emotions, they're great. But guess what? Guess what happens whenever you're in the heat of pressure? Emotions are gone. And in those times, that's why my confidence cannot be in my emotions. My confidence has to be faith in God's word. God's word says I can do it, and that I believe it. Amen. That's right. My confidence was not in my physical strength, but it was in letting the machine do the work. All I had to do was apply the machine. Amen. Even when the word is preached, it's up to me to get in the spirit. It reminds me of a man by the name of Moses. Doubtless, when you walked through Egypt, you heard the name Moses shouted. It was a respected name. It was a feared name because of the character that was behind his name. It was a name of authority. And character is a victory. It is not a gift. Moses was well trained and was in the perfect appearance of a conqueror. He was tall, smart, strong, and experienced in warfare. But when Moses began to see who he was and seeing that his people were in bondage, he tried at first to deliver him in his own abilities. And one thing about this life that we all should be able to agree on is life can change overnight. Right. Moses went from everyone wanting to be Moses and everyone hating him overnight. He literally went from being a ruler to being a fugitive overnight. Anything man makes is like wood or hay or stubble, but what God does is by gold, because gold is deity. And everything that Moses did in himself was destroyed overnight. I can't make that clear enough. Life can change overnight. I'm talking about you can be on the mountaintop, everything is going right, and literally, in just a few moments, your life is completely turned upside down. You take someone that had just had, over the breaks, had perfect fellowship with all their friends and family, and then literally go down the street and get killed in a car accident. Think about that. They were literally with their family. A few moments ago, everything, it was just like a normal day, and then 5 minutes later, they were killed in a car accident. If that happened to you, I want to ask you something, or happened to myself. Did we present the best service that we possibly could have to be an example for them in that last time I talked to them. I know of a man here, I talked to him here just briefly. He just bought a Jeep Gladiator from us. And I know when I talked to him, there was something, I don't know what it was, it literally just shocked me that I needed to take just a moment and talk to the man. And I didn't know why. And I just stopped and talked to him for just a few moments, and I tried to give the best example I possibly could. I did not know why. But I felt this reason just to talk to him. I did not. God knows it's the truth. And left just like a normal day. I did my day. And not even a week later, they come to me and said, "Hey, did you hear about that man? What happened to him?" I said, "What man?" And they started explaining it was the exact same man. Said the man was going down a road and he drove his Gladiator into the lake. I say this with all soberness I possibly can. What would I feel like if I would have known God told me to talk to that man and I didn't do it? Brothers and sisters, it is a serious hour. It's a serious time to where you yourself are the light of the world. And we are the written epistles read of all men. At least we should be. And you know what? How many times do we have an opportunity comes across us to where God lays it on your heart to say something? God lays it on your heart to be a witness. God lays it on your heart to do it. And you override, "I'm not going to do that." Brothers and sisters, I think we're going to be held accountable. Amen. I can remember a time I was in a hospital room and I was just doing a normal checkup. I remember there was a baby that was sitting there and had a dill over its mouth for its breathing. And it was a very bad sickness. The nurse said it's a really sick, bad sickness. You need to stay away from that side of the room. And I remember I sat there and I remember God laid it on my heart to go pray for that baby. And I argued within myself and said, "I can't do that. There's nothing inside me to do that." And I'd left. And you know what? I didn't pray for that baby. And I have no doubt in my mind that if I'd have prayed for that baby, it would have been healed. How many times does God lay it on our heart to do something and we override that voice? God help us to consecrate ourselves to God in such a way where God tells us that He nudges on your heart to go do it, that we will get up and go do it. Say amen. Well, we can present ourselves in a way, listen to what I'm saying now, present ourselves as a living epistle to where God can speak to our hearts. But I wonder how many times in the world are people so caught up in their own worldly thinking. They're so ate up with the world that what God can't even talk to you because your mind's so consumed with the world. You say, "Amen." That's why we have to be a people, because I'm telling you what, the world will produce every substitute you can possibly imagine. But when God gives you a holy thirst for Him, it is the thirst for Him and Him alone. You see somebody with them big old holes in their ears and they've got the piercings all over their face. They're doing the tattoos all over. You see all these things. You know why they're doing those things? It's because there is a thirst inside of them. And they're trying to fill that thirst every way they know how. That's right. I was one of them. I had that holy thirst on the inside. That's why I was drinking. That's why I was doing the rock and roll parties. That's why I was doing all the nonsense I was doing. It's because I had a holy thirst on the inside of me. There was something inside me that was calling for something, and I didn't know what it was, so I would fill it with the things of the world. And after you listen to me, and when you do those things, you feel better for just a little while. And then after that stuff wears off, you feel just as empty, if not more empty, than you were before you ever done it in the first place. There was a deep call to the deep on the inside, and I didn't even realize it was God calling me to a fellowship with Him. And I'm here to tell you, there's a deep call to the deep this morning. If you have something on the inside of you, says, "I've got to have more of God. There's got to be more than this. Let me go to this other church because maybe they got it." You know what will happen? You'll go there and you'll say, "I'm going to go to this church and see if they got it." You'll go over there and you'll say, "I'm going to go to this church and see if they got it." And you'll just keep moving around over and over and over again. But what you got to do is get in the Spirit of God. Whenever you lay before the altar of God, the Scripture of God, it says, "By His stripes you were healed." Get in the Spirit of that and you'll be healed. But I'm here to tell you, you can take that. If you don't get in the Spirit, it's just like putting that 90-day transformation and wasting your time.
I don't want to waste my time, brothers and sisters. I don't want to waste God's time. I don't want to waste your time. I want to see God using me. When I take a step, the Almighty God is using me in that step. It may be a small work, but God, let me do good at my small work. Whenever you're going to work and you're doing those things, get in the Spirit and worship God. You know what? We should be in a way just like that pigeon. I told you, when you hold that pigeon, there should be an oil come off of you. I don't say this to be mean. I say it to be your brother. And I preach it to myself too. How much oil could they get off of us if they were to put their hands on us right now? But you know what happens? When I preach here and tell you that, most of the time, people get mad at him. Because they think you're something? You think you're some almighty? No. I am fighting this fight because you know what? Rapture morning is going to come some morning. And I know I'm going to be held accountable for the words that I say. And I'm going to be held accountable for the words I heard. That's right. We need to get in the spirit of God's word. When we come to service, I'm not here to waste people's time. When you come to service, I am here. I may not be a singer, I may not be a guitar player, I may not be a preacher, but I've got a position. And your position is just as important as anybody else. That's exactly right. If you slack off whenever you say, well, I don't do those things, so I'm not going to worry about it in the morning, I'm just going to get up and go to church, you are slacking. Because we have all got a position to where, you know, the scripture says, pray for your ministry that they can receive revelation and pray that they can present it to you in a way that you can understand it. How many knows that scripture? One of the most valuable assets of a service that you can do is pray for your ministry. It's where you are praying and you say, God, bless my pastor. Give him the revelation, God, of this hour. God, bless him. Help him to get in the Spirit. And Lord, help me get in the Spirit. That when he preaches, that he can preach it in a way that I can understand it. Because I've got such a simple mind and I need help. Say amen. People don't like to say that anymore. I'm not simple. I'm smart. Well, you go right on ahead because I'm simple. I need God to make it simple for me so I can understand what he's saying. Amen. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? We got to get in the Spirit. Lord, whenever God preaches the word to me, that I can say, Lord, I believe that. But you know what happens a lot of times when people get sick? It takes them getting on their deathbed. A lot of times. Get their attention. I said something here a while back, and it might have sounded a little rude, but I believe it to be the truth. I talked about the young man that talked to the old man. He said, I want to be successful. Show me how to be successful. He said, you really want to be successful? He said, yes, I want to be successful. He said, meet me at the water. He met him at the water, and I thought it was going to be a baptismal service or something like that. He said, meet me at the water. He met him at the water. He said, what are you thinking about right now? He said, I'm thinking about all the ways I can be successful. I'm thinking about all these things. He said, come with me. He took him out to the water, got up to about chest deep. He said, what are you thinking about now? I said, being successful. He said, excellent. Grabbed his head, pushed his head into the water, held his head into the water. Bubbles coming up. And the boy's head pop up. He said, what are you thinking about now? I said, breathing. He said, that's what you got to be. You've got to get to the point where you stop thinking about anything other than I want to be committed to God. I don't care about this. I don't care about this social media site. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I don't care about the economy. I don't care about what the Democrats are doing. The only thing I'm thinking is, God, I want to be in your presence. I want it more than anything. I don't care about being rich. I don't care about having a nice truck. I don't care about having a nice house. I don't care about having a 401k plan. I want to be in your presence, God. Amen. I want that more than anything. And God, if it takes putting my head under the water and holding it there until finally I stop looking at these things, God, do it. Because I want to get to the point where I stop looking at anything. The only thing, the only motive in my heart, God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be to where I go to someone's house, they get oil off of me because I've got the fragrance. Not to lift me up, not to make me something, but to lift you up, God. Because you are so good. But I fail at displaying you. Because I make so many mistakes because of this old flesh man. Help me die to this old flesh man and let him live. Amen. Help me to get in the Spirit on a daily basis. basis, God, when I go and someone knows exactly what button to push to make you mad, to where you say, God, help me to live above that.
Amen.
Help me to live higher, God. Help me be like that eagle, where he don't listen to the chatter, chatter, chatter no more, but he's caught up in heavenly places. Amen. We got to get in the Spirit. You want to be in service for God? Get in the Spirit. Sister, you want to sing a song and say, have the presence come down? Get in the Spirit. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't, you're wasting your time. But whenever you don't do it, don't waste God's time. Don't waste your time. But let's get in the Spirit. I can't say it loud enough. Let's get in the Spirit of God's Word, where God can use you.
Amen.
If God was to isolate you today, put you on this shelf right here, and say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Mr. John here. There's no John in the room, so I've got Mr. John here. And we're going to put on display the times when God put his hand on John's life. The time that God put his hand on John's life, this is the display. This is what John did. This is what John did with his time on Monday. This is what John did on Tuesday. This is what John did on Wednesday. This is what John did on Thursday. This is what John did on Friday. How much would John be putting his head down saying, God, forgive me? Because you'll see how many times you put God to the side to do something else. I ask you again, how committed are you? How committed are you? I'm preaching to myself. Remember, anytime a preacher preaches, he preaches to himself too.
That's right.
Don't you ever think I'm putting myself up and saying, won't you be like me? I am not doing that. I'm preaching to myself. How many times during the week has God put his hand over and says, you do this? He'll put that pull on me to get in there and pray. God will put it in your pull to get in there and study. God will put it in his heart and his mind. Just get away from me. Sometimes don't even pray. Just get alone and let God talk with you. How many times does God do it and we override that voice? Over and over and over and over. If you'll be honest with yourself, you'd say, yes, sir, Brother Daniel, you're right. I want to consecrate myself. What do I mean consecrate? I'm talking about devote myself. Where my devotion is, I want to be in service for God. I want to be in a part. Because remember, David couldn't do it. David was a man of war. David is your flesh guy. David could not do this thing. But there was one that came from his loins. There was a life on the inside of us that can do this thing. There was a life inside of us that can do the greater works. Jesus said, these works and greater works, so you do, because I go to my Father. How many knows that scripture? He's not talking about greater work. What greater work can you do than raising the dead? He's not talking about doing a greater work than raising the dead. He's talking about more works, because we will do the same thing he did. That's right. Because if you have, I'm going to tell you, if I've got the life of Beethoven inside me, you should expect me to write music. You should expect me to play music. If I've got the life of Beethoven inside me. And if I've got the life of God inside of me, you should expect to see the life of God. You should see God doing the same thing. I remember the prophet talking one time, talking about how that man got upset with him for preaching. Telling him the truth. And something really stuck out to me. He said, you know what? The Holy Ghost inside you will say amen to the word.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, if there's something inside you that gets mad at the preacher for saying that, I'm here to tell you, that is not the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, listen to me, young people. If you've got a spirit, I can't say this clear enough, listen to what I'm saying. If there is a spirit that comes on you and it causes you to try to rebel against your parents and say you go the other way, don't worry about it, I'm here to tell you, that is not the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost will not do that. The Holy Ghost is not the author of confusion. The devil works really hard in this day to make people don't respect authority at all. The young people of this day, they will be disrespectful to the police officers. They'll pull out their cell phones and video the cop and doing that because they have absolutely no respect for the officers. They have the man in office, the president of the United States. There was a time whenever I was younger, we stood up inside the school and we put our hands on our hearts and we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and we were taught to respect the president of the United States. We were taught that in school. It was a respect of authority. I'm here to tell you today, they teach people in school nowadays to disrespect the president. The parents will tell the kids, you don't have to listen to that teacher, what that teacher says. And he'll tell the coaches, don't you scream at my little baby. Don't you do those things. What is it? They don't respect authority. I'm here to tell you that the women today, you can tell a woman, you know, the Word of God says clearly that the man is the head of the house. I'm here to tell you, when you do it the right way, God will bless that home. But you know what? The people, women today, says, I'm not going to submit myself to no man. He's not going to tell me what to do. Well, if you get the Holy Ghost, you will. I'm here to tell you, God has a program. What is it? They don't respect authority. It's a direct reflection of exactly the opposite of what Moses showed us. When Moses met God, he showed respect for his authority to the point he took his shoes off his feet because he was standing on holy ground. It wasn't the holy mountain. It was the holy God on the mountain. Brothers and sisters, don't let us fall down that pattern to where we are finding ourselves of disrespecting the authority. The pulpit is one of the greatest authorities, in my opinion, not because of the man, because man failed. If God ain't speaking through that man, you're wasting your time. Is that right? If he ain't preaching according to this word, you're wasting your time. And there are a lot of pulpits that they are wasting their time.
That's right.
But I'm also going to tell you something. Listen to me now. There's a lot of people, because they've got such a stinky, rotten attitude, they can preach as straight as they possibly can, and you'll still leave with a bad attitude.
Right.
It's because of your rotten attitude. But I'm here to tell you, listen to someone that's been there, and I know. You humble yourself before God, or God will humble you.
That's right.
If I could tell the young people of anything this morning, humble yourself before God. You recognize you're nothing. Without God, you're nothing. Without God, you're going this dirt. They got the fanciest clothes. They've got shirts. They've got pants that are so ridiculous and priceless. I'm here to tell you something. I feel so bad because I busted up laughing. My wife and I, my wife and I were going, but it was actually me and Malachi, I think it was. But we were waiting on her to get some stuff at the store. And I said, well, we don't want to go in there. You can probably imagine what kind of store it was. The woman's store. I just ain't got no business in there. Me and Malachi, we stayed outside. We said, you go ahead and do your thing, and we will be right over here. So we went inside there, and we found this pair of pants. I'm not kidding you. There was a hole in that pants. I'm talking, it was ridiculous. It was like $100. I picked this pants up. I said, look at this. I said, what? Oh, my gosh. Look at this. This is ridiculous. Oh, that's a good one. Look at this one. I looked over, and here come a guy that had those same pants on. He's, oh, man, I like mine. Said, sorry. I put that back on the hanger, and I said, son, we are in the wrong store. Let's go. Let's get out of here. You talk about insanity. They've got an image right there. I'm a millionaire and didn't even know it. I've got jeans with way better holes than that. But they're from real holes. I didn't pay no $100 for them like that, like they did, you know. But it's insanity. They're trying to keep up an image to where they've got this image. Because let me tell you something. We all reflect something.
Right.
That's right. You'll either reflect the rapture or you reflect this world. God, help me reflect the right thing.
Amen.
Help me do that. And the way I'm going to do that is consecrating myself to God and His presence.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Whatever you know what? The message believer should be the perfect example, if it's displayed correctly, the perfect example for the world to look at, the model of seeing what do I do in this circumstance. They should be able to look at you and see why, because you are the Word. That's right. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? I am the Word.
Right.
My life, I am equal with God. Because all that was in God, He poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, He poured into Daniel Black. He poured it into you. Amen? All that God is, I have all that God is inside me. But I have to think like that. I have to realize with the mentality and with the attitude the wonderful position God has called me to. He has called me to be the bride of Jesus Christ. God, help me value that and consecrate myself to God's presence. And I promise you, I've got like 15 other pages. I'm not going to try to go through them. I won't do that to you. But I just want to get this message to you. Will you, the question to you, will you consecrate yourself to God's service today? Are you willing
to say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I haven't been committing myself. I've been slacking, but I don't want to do it anymore. I want to commit myself right now, starting today, putting my line in the sand. I'm going to say, God, forgive me for wasting my time. Forgive me for wasting your time. Lord God, you have given me a day of life. When I put my foot on the ground tomorrow, I'm in the name of the Lord. Lord, what can I do to be used by you today? Help me to where I am walking the Spirit. Don't be thinking about college degrees. Those things have their place. I tell my kids, and I tell you what, the hardest part, I'm sure you fathers and mothers can understand what I'm trying to say. The hardest part about being a parent, one of the hardest parts, is because you want to set them up in a way in this life to where they can be successful in this world, where they're not having to depend on you to try to help them throughout life financially. But at the same time, you want them to be set up in a way to where they are depending on God, where they are seeking God on a daily basis, to where they are saying, God, meet my needs. That's exactly right. That's, for me, that's one of the hardest parts of a parent, is having the balance. But I'm here to tell you, let this be your number one. If education ever starts getting between you and this, you get rid of education.
Right.
Because this won't fail you. Education will. This right here should be my... I work with people, and I talk to a lot of people that make a lot of money. When I say a lot of money, I mean I talk to people that make a lot of money. And if you talk to them, they feel like they are absolutely successful. And you can't talk to them about success because they feel like they are absolutely successful. And you know what they do when they're on their empty time? Drinking, going to all these different things, because they are so empty right here. The richest you can possibly be is not the things of this world that you can touch. It's the things you can't buy. I want you to go to the store and buy me a cup of love this morning. Go to the parts store and say, sir, I want you to give me a pint of love because I need it. I want you to give me a pint of a wife that loves me and respects me. Oh, they try to buy it. They'll buy all kinds of nice jewelry, nice house, nice cars to get this woman, this beautiful woman, because they want that beautiful wife. And guess what happens after they get her? She won't submit to him. She won't be a mother. She'll rebel to him. And though he's got all of this money, the same man told me, he says, man, I would give anything if I had a wife like yours. And I've got the most beautiful wife in the world, hands down. Because you know what, my wife, they gave me a hard time. I'm going to tell on myself. They gave me a hard time because my wife, she came into the showroom the other day and seen me, and I was sitting here working my computer, and I was putting information. And my wife's pretty short, so she's, you know, anyone that knows her, she's 4'9", a little bitty thing. So I didn't even see her over the computer. She walked up behind me, and I'm sitting here working my computer, and then she's, and I heard this beautiful voice. She said, I'd like to buy a car. I looked over, and there's only one person that's got a voice like that. Turned around and looked around the computer, and there she stood. And butterflies literally came inside my stomach when I seen her. You know, she didn't come in there looking like the world. She didn't come in there trying to walk in some kind of sexy way to look attract everybody, because right. She knows that would upset me if she did that.
Right.
She did it because she loves me. And she walked through there, and I seen that holiness walking through there, and she said, I want to buy a car. And I said, well, hello there. We began to do our little talk that we normally do. And then she getting ready to leave. I'm just going to tell her what I said. I'm going to tell the truth. She reached over and gave me a little smooch. Okay, I reached over and gave her a little smooch. In the whole showroom with a and she went on about her way. And I was sitting around there later on, and the secretary that's working at the time, she said, you know why they do that? I said, because none of them, their wife, will do that to them. I said, that's exactly right. I said, I'm a blessed man. She said, yes, you are. She said, I've seen your family come in here. It's awesome. People should be able to look at our life and say, that's the model. Now, I am not saying I am perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm forgetting those things that are behind me, and I'm reaching for those things in Christ. I'm saying, God, help me get this. This is what I'm swimming towards. I want to ask you, will you swim with me? Let's swim towards that current. where God's provided a way to where I am not depending on my strength, not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit, Lord. I am swimming with everything that I have. Lord God, if I start getting out of sync, help me, God. Do what you got to do to get me back in sync where I'm pedaling the right direction. Amen. Go ahead and let everyone stand, if you don't mind. Help me consecrate myself to God's service. Help me to present myself in a way when someone sees my marriage. Because, you know, we're supposed to be the habitation of God's Spirit. How many knows that? Lord, help my relationship with my wife be conducted in a way to where it can be the habitation of God's Spirit.
That's right.
Let the relationship that I have with my sons and my daughter be conducted in a way to where it can be the habitation of God's Spirit.
Amen.
Let's help our ministry be conducted in a way to where it can be the habitation of God's Spirit.
Amen.
Our trustee board, our deacon, everything that I am, help me conduct it in a way, in a service to where God can put his tab. It can be a habitation of God's Spirit where he can just keep circling that thing over and over again. That won't come by just sitting and letting the currents take us. The currents of this world will wash you away. You have got to keep swimming, brothers and sisters. Against this world and into the presence of God. Amen. Let our musicians come, if you don't mind, brother. I know some of the things I probably said might probably feel like your toes are just plumb sore from stepping on. Mine too. But I'm telling you something. If we will line up with God's word and say, Lord, help me to be a wife to where I can be such a help to my husband. And help me be a husband that can be such a strong, loving, caring leader for my wife and my children that they will want to follow me. That she'll want to cook the beans and fried taters, so to speak. I didn't mention beans other than she ain't cooked those in a while. Amen. If you don't mind, sing something song. Eventually graduated from the old junky forklift and I got the good forklift. But he didn't give that to me overnight. I had to show you that I could work with what I had before he could give me something more. You know, I used to be a lube technician and a tire guy, and I would do light and small maintenance, and I wanted to get some tools. And any guy that works on stuff likes tools. I think it's just ingrained in man to want tools. He gets excited about a hardware store or anything.
But something the Lord showed me is don't you go out and buy a bunch of tools. You take the ones you have and you work on perfecting yourself using the tools that you have. And then as you go on, I'll provide for your other tools. And he did exactly that. And little by little, I got more tools and more tools and more tools. But I say this, don't try to say, God, give it all to me right now. But help me appreciate and use what you've given me. And be the best I can be at that. And when you do that, God will give you more. I want more revelation. I want more. I want to be able to soar higher and higher. But I want to walk in everything that I have now. And then I believe God will continue to take me higher. Say amen. Ask our pastor to come as we sing this song. Sing with all of our hearts this morning.
Say amen this morning. You know, Brother Daniel and I had was the privilege to have supper together with her one night this week, and we love to fellowship with each other. And I could tell that today's sermon, we didn't discuss it, but in our discussion, Brother Daniel, just things that I would say, what the Lord was dealing with me, and he would smile, and eventually said he was having to hold back not to go ahead and share with me what was on his heart. But I said all I could say this. What you heard this morning is definitely the mind of the Holy Spirit for this church for right now.
Right.
Amen. And so I want to ask you a question. Not to try and come along and preach behind him, but I do always want to come behind the minister that stands in the pulpit, and I want to let you know that I back him. But I want to ask you, are you happy with the reaping that you've been doing from the life you've been sowing? Has everything been what you, is it just, everything's just what you really want? And you're probably going to say, no, I really, you know, there's a lot of things I think I wish was better. I wish was different. I wish the Lord would do certain things. And so, you know, we are a product. We do reap what we sow. And if we neglect our lives in the Holy Spirit, then that actually is going to come out somewhere. It's going to come out in your walk. It's going to come out in your influence. It's going to come out in your children. It's going to come out.
That's right.
If we do. And, you know, I remember the prophet one time, and I know he was trying to be very polite to the people, you know, but I'm going to rehearse to you what he said. He said, I mean, he's got the Holy Ghost, and You hear all the people, they, oh, you know, they raise their hands. And I think he told them to raise their hands. And he said, now, let's look at Bible evidence. And he said, the scripture said in Ezekiel that there was an angel there that said with a rider's horn. And he said, I want you to go and go down there to the city, and I want you to take that ink horn, and I want you to mark every person who is sighing and crying against the abominations that are done in the city.
Right.
Now, the Holy Ghost is a seal. It's a mark.
That's right.
They're sealed, you know, at forehead and hand. We know about mark of the beast. That's the opposite of it. But the mark of God is to be sealed in your experience, in the revelation in your forehead and in your hand, what you do. They were sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, and so that's what that was a type of. That angel went forth to mark, and he said, mark everybody that has a sighing and crying against the abominations. And everybody that was actually burdened in their heart for the things that were not right in God's people. And it said in the city, it didn't say off out in the, you know, across the land, but the abomination done in the city. So not necessarily the world, which we are, okay? We are, but even in the church, things that might not be right in the church, things that might not be in our lives, right in our lives, things that might not be right in your children's lives or your brothers and sisters' lives, right? And mark those that sigh and cry. And Brother Bram said, now, how many got, won't you raise your hand?
Yeah.
It was a lot quieter, see? And so, but I said all that to say this, that when I get alone, when I get still, and I'm not busy doing chores, I'm not mowing the lawn, I'm not doing a hobby, when I'm not in conversation with my family, when I get alone and I shut all that other noise out, my heart begins to sigh and cry. That's the default position of the Holy Ghost. If we shut up all the other stuff,
yes,
that's trying to override it, that is the default position of the Holy Ghost, because that's what Jesus Christ came here for, was to save those that are lost, to go out there and touch lives. And so what you and I, the choice you and I have is what are we going to do about that? Are we going to let things of the world override that voice? Are we going to push things to the side so that that sighing and crying of the Holy Spirit in our lives can transform our walk with God?
Yes.
Because if you are convinced that the world is in the condition that it's in, and you're convinced that you need to see better fruit in your life, if you are convinced, you will be concerned.
That's right.
Right? And if you are convinced and concerned, it should change the way you walk and what you do. And so if you're not happy with the way things, if you're not happy with the way your children have turned out, why not do something different?
Right.
Why not do what the Word says do? And I'm preaching to myself, okay? But I'm telling you exactly the channel of the Holy Spirit right now. God wants to do something in this congregation, in this channel that I'm talking about.
Yes.
No questions about it. But we've got to make our minds up. You know what? And that's what I've realized. That get away. If you got a hobby, nothing wrong with a hobby. But push it to the side and push all these other things aside and get alone with God so that that crying of the Holy Spirit can get stronger and come out and actually take hold of your life and change what you spend your time doing and change your the expression that you're giving.
Yes.
Amen? And that, I really believe that's what the Lord wants to really step us up, each one of us, including me, definitely, starting with me. I'll put it that way. So we certainly want to do that, and I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to speak to us. And in this sermon today is a very good foundation for something I want to do. Want to make sure everybody's here. We've got people out today. But I really wanted to cover some things, and I want to cover a portion of church order. It's not, you know, I want to cover the church, the portions of church order that I believe we can do better in.
Yeah.
And it does have to do with being at your post of duty, and as Brother Daniel said, you know, let's don't be just halfway about it. Let's step up,
right.
And really. You know, but because there's a lot of things that need to be done in church, and there is a church order that we should have. And if you don't get a burden to do what's right, somebody else has to do it.
Right.
You see what I mean? And so I think today's sermon was a good starting place for us, and I appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say. He mentioned about gold and wood and hay and stubble. When you go through trials, you just remember this. When you go through trials and it burns, it is to burn up anything that is wood, hay, and stubble.
That's right.
But fire can never burn up gold and silver. Mm-hmm. It only purifies it.
That's
and
right.
What it does when it purifies it, it gets out of it the things that is not gold and silver. And so you remember, when you're going through a trial, and if it's really hot and hard on you, then let it burn you away. Let it get rid of that in you which is you, so that which is left is nothing but the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what trials do, as we certainly know that. And be tied to something. Be tied to the Word, as Brother Daniel said. Let this be, because you know what? When God told Cain the truth, God actually came down and told Cain what to do to be accepted.
Yep.
And Cain walked away from it. Right?
That's right.
And you know what happened to Cain? He became a wanderer.
That's right.
And if you let Satan talk to you, and you'll do just like what Brother Daniel said, you'll be at this church, well, I'll go to that one. Then when you're there, then you go to that one. And then when you're there, you'll go to that one. And you'll want a new rifle. And when you get that, won't satisfy. And you'll want a new pickup truck. And then that won't satisfy.
That's
you.
Right.
And you want a new wife. And that won't satisfy you. You see what I'm saying? Because Satan will make you a wanderer so that you're not tied down and firm with a footing upon the Word of God.
That's right.
That's what he'll do to you. And I'm saying all this to come along behind, back up, Brother Daniel. Examine your lives. Look at it. Am I happy with things? And if I'm not, then God show me what to change. And I believe the Word's telling you what to change in your life. And put the things out that you know's been getting in the way. And let God become first.
Yep.
Amen. Let him be number one. I seen, I think it was Brother Ron Malevo, or somebody posted something there. They said, if you're, and I had to comment. I don't comment on much stuff whenever on social media. But he said, if you take more selfies of yourself and you're talking about yourself more than you are God, you've got a, self-centered, I forget the wording, but, and that's true. That's true. People won't talk about everything else. But you know what? When somebody is in tune with God, they won't talk about him.
That's right.
And they want to see him presented to everyone else out there in the world. So may the Lord richly bless you. If we have another song we can sing just before we go. I appreciate what the Lord had to say this morning. It's good for me. Amen. There's nothing like truth. And there's nothing like being in tune with the Holy Spirit and knowing that the Lord of God, the creator of heaven and earth, is speaking to you. I mean, that he would be mindful enough to come down and speak to us. Amen. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm sitting back here marveling as Brother Daniel's saying this, and I'm like, normally I'd be feeling like, man, he's preaching my sermon, but no, I don't. Because I feel like I got plenty to say, but I know what the Holy Spirit's trying to say there. You know? And so, may the Lord richly bless you. It's been a blessing to you today. Let's sing this song.